The message this morning entitled God's Timing. If you will turn with me to the book of John in the 11th chapter, we're going to consider a very familiar story about Mary and Martha and Lazarus found in the book of John. Chapter 11, we'll begin reading with verse 1 this morning, and we're going to read through this account. You know, there is a purpose for every scripture that's in the Bible, and there is a reason why that the Lord allowed what is in what we call the Bible, all these individual letters, to come together like they are. I know there are some scrolls that have been found, and people ask, why isn't this put in the Bible? I believe that God divinely ordered these books to come together. It has stood the test of time. More than any other book, it has stood the test of time. So it doesn't mean that we cannot learn from some of the other scrolls and letters and writings that are out there, but it was God that ordered this to come together, and I'll accept that this morning. Like us to turn to the 11th again. John chapter 11, we'll begin reading. It says, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, Mary and Martha and Lazarus were special friends of Jesus. Now, when I say special friends, you know, some people get a little resentment if you say, well, this is my special friend, because they'll go, what about me? Do you realize that even when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, what we call today the Mount Transfiguration, that there he took three disciples with him? When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, all 12 were not there. He took a chosen few. What were the other disciples doing at that time? Do you think there was any room for any resentments? Especially when they came back then. Actually, Jesus told them, don't tell anybody what you've seen right now. But do you realize that there were those, there was an inner circle even with Christ. I think there's a little lesson for us today. Let's not get our feelings so hurt when we say, oh, well, Brother Max and Brother Justin, they seem to be pretty good friends. And I think, well, what about me? I'm not on the... Don't resent that. Be thankful that someone has a friend. And if you don't have any friends, the Scripture says, he that hath friends must what? Must show himself friendly. This was but Mary and Martha and Lazarus were not just casual acquaintances of Christ. They were good friends. They were part of this special friendship with Jesus. And so when Mary came to Jesus, the sisters came to him, they said, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. In other words, Jesus had been out healing the sick, casting devils out, working these miracles, sharing the gospel. And if someone is sick, who better to go to than to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, I know you've been healing these other people, but your good friend over here has a problem and he needs your help. That's just a little background with that. Because this is your good friend. If you're going to go help someone else, who better to help than your close friend, right? I remember one time, and the analogy. Someone came one time and gave me a little offering. And I didn't do it. Maybe I should have. I don't know. I wanted to give it back to them and tell them to go buy their wife some shoes. It wasn't because I was looking at their wives. The point is, their wife had needs, and the husband wasn't taking care of her. And it's like, take care of your family. It was support the work of God. But it was like, we need to start, see? If I'm out healing the sick, and I have someone that's really close to me sick, shouldn't I go heal them? And so when they came to Jesus, it was like, Lord, you've been out doing all this good. We want you to know Lazarus is sick over here. And so Jesus, he heard that and he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. This is the lesson we get from that this morning. What is going on is no mystery to God. So what is happening in your life this morning, it is no mystery to God. He knew that Lazarus was sick, and they wanted him to come, and his response was, this is not unto death. In other words, this is not the final chapter. But what's going on is for the glory of God. Are we willing this morning, as God's children, to trust in the fact and have faith that God knows what's happening in our lives? Because see, when I don't have that kind of faith, I start to get anxious. When it seems like that God is not answering my prayer, and it's like, Lord, I told you that your good friend is sick, and he just says, well, it's to the glory of God. It's like, that's all well and good, it's the glory of God, but I'm still here suffering. Lazarus is still sick. You can say, oh, the Lord knows, but he's still sick. He's still dying over here. And you say, it's all right. It's to the glory of God. You know, when you're in the middle of the battle, sometimes that's hard to understand. But the reality is that God knows what's happening in your life this morning. And you may say, but Jesus, you don't understand how bad it is. Have you ever talked to someone and shared with them your problems? And you walk away thinking they don't get it. Jesus gets it. He understands. There are times that you can try to express yourself and you think that people just don't really understand how I'm really feeling and what I'm going through. It is no mystery to the Lord this morning, the things that you are facing in life. It's no mystery. Well, the scripture says that when Job was suffering, what did Job say? He knoweth what? He knoweth the way that I take. He knows where I am. So when they came and said, Lazarus is sick, and Jesus said, well, it's for the glory of God. It's not unto death. What it lets communicates to us is that God knows the way that we take this morning. And when you feel alone and when you feel forsaken, and when it feels like, I said feels, when it feels like and it seems like your prayers are not getting answered, it is no mystery to God what's happening in your life. Whether it's your health, whether it's your finances, whether it's your temptations, the struggles, the problems, the people in your life that are causing you difficulty. It is no mystery what's happening. God knows the way that you take. And the scripture also says, Romans 8:28. What is Romans 8:28? For we know. Do we know this morning? What do we know? That all things, well, some things, I understand that some things, but it says all things, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to what? His purpose. If you're not saved this morning, or if you are living in disobedience, do not claim that scripture. That sounds a little hard, doesn't it? You say, well, all things work together for good. Oh, no, it doesn't. It works together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose, to those that are living a life of obedience. Our faith is this morning that when I am a child of God and I love the Lord, that everything that touches my life, even when it seems that God is not present and it seems that God is not working, our faith is, according to the scripture, that He knows the way that I take, and God is going to work this together for good. And I may not see it right now, and I don't know how it can even turn out good, but I have faith in my Lord that He knows what's happening. And He promised that it would work together. And so verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So see, it's just kind of doubling down that Jesus loved them too. It wasn't just one side. It's like, hey, Lord, you know, the friend, that you, your good friend here that you love, Jesus, it lets us know Jesus loved him. Jesus cared about them, and they were special in his life. And it said that he heard, therefore, that he was sick. He abode 2 days still in the same place. get the call for help, and what did Jesus do? He didn't do anything. He was literally unmoved physically for 2 days. Now, how much confidence if you call someone, say, I need some help? Say, okay. And then you're sitting there waiting, and they don't come. Would you be disappointed? Feeling a little forsaken, I thought they loved me. I thought they cared about me. I thought I could trust them, but they didn't show up. Well, when in distress and God delays his answer, he is waiting for something greater to be accomplished. I don't know what everybody's facing this morning. I don't know what all the difficulties that you face. Those might be some of your unspoken requests. But I want you to know, when it seems that God is delaying, he is waiting for something greater to be accomplished. Lord, help us to learn how to wait more patiently. Lord, teach us to trust you more, that when we pray and we are desperate, Lord, he's sick. Lazarus is dying. We need help right now. And Jesus just stayed where he was and it seemingly was taking his time. But God had a purpose. And so in verse 6, it said, when he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And then after that, he said to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Let's go ahead and we'll start that direction. And his disciples said, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? You see, what happened is previously, remember, they tried to stone Jesus. Jesus, it wasn't just when he died on the cross. That was not the first attempt on his life. They had tried, remember one time they tried to cast him off a cliff. We're going to take him and cast him off a cliff. And he kind of like wandered through the crowd and escaped. There were times, and so the disciples were pointing back, Lord, why go back there? The Jews are wanting to stone you. So why are we going to go back there? And this was his answer. He said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. And these things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. How did he know that? In other words, when somebody said, well, he's sleeping, he died. Lazarus is dead. You see, Jesus knew what was going on. When we get to those places of desperation, Jesus knows what's happening. And so he said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. He had a purpose. Before he even went, he had a plan, and he knew Lazarus is going to die, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to raise him from the dead. And it said, his disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. See, they didn't understand, even when Jesus said it. We understand it now because we're looking back. The disciples didn't understand exactly what was going to happen. And Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. And Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. See, I use the word sleep. I just want to clarify, y'all. He's dead. What happens when someone dies? How do we view it? It's finished. It's over. It's too late. There's no medical intervention. There is no miracle. It's over. He's dead. And Jesus said, I am glad for your sake that I was not there. He was talking to his disciples. I'm glad for your sake that I wasn't there, to the intent, for this purpose, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. You see, sometimes there are things that happen in life that it's not just for your good. There are things that happen in life that are for the good of people around you. Are you willing this morning to go through times of distress for someone else's spiritual welfare? Can God trust you this morning to go through a difficult time that someone can look at you and see your faith in God? That they can see that you love God? That they can see your good fruit and glorify your Father? Can He trust us this morning? And so then Thomas, which is called Didymus, and Thomas, he kind of gets a bad rap sometimes. What do we call Thomas? Doubting Thomas. So you can read what we're in this next passage, you can read it more than one way. But Thomas speaks up and says, see, his disciples just warned Jesus, we don't want to go back there. They're wanting to kill you. And this is what Thomas said. He said, let us also go that we may die with him. Now, well, we might as well go too so we can die. Sounds like doubting Thomas there, doesn't it? Well, we'll go with you, Lord. We'll die with you. Well, he was doubting in the sense that he believed that there was death ahead of them. But you can also read it this way. Lord, if you're going to go and die, we're not going to forsake you, Lord. Lord, if you're going to go and die, we're going to go with you and we'll die with you. But Lord, we believe in you enough that if you're going to die, we'll die too. But we have enough faith in you and in your cause that we're going to stand with you and we're not going to forsake you. So you have a choice this morning to read this however you want. But Lord, if you're going to go die, we will go with you and we will die with you. Well, Jesus came and found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days. So he came and Lazarus had been. Why did Jesus wait? I mean, it's not like someone died and they walked in and they had just passed away and then they were revived. I read an article in the news, I think it was last week, that they were fixing to harvest someone's organs and they woke up. They were in the hospital, they were fixing to take their organs out. They were a donor, and they said they're brain dead, and they were fixing to take them out, and they came, and they were fine. Do you know, this? That doesn't happen. This is 4 days. We know he's dead. He has been in the tomb, he's dead, and before long, he's going to start smelling. He waited till there was no doubt. There was no question. Lazarus is dead. Well, it said then, now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, I wonder what she thought and what she felt when she heard that Jesus was coming. I feel like the Lord inspired me to let you know this morning that Jesus is coming. You see, Jesus is on his way this morning. Jesus was coming and she went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha unto him, Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give thee. Lord, you're too late. You're too late. Have we ever put time limits on God and said, Lord, I've got this window? I think probably most of us have been guilty of this, especially on deadlines. I mean, on jobs, on finances, on it's like, Lord, there's a deadline. I got to know. Do you know this morning that God's timing is not our timing? God does not operate on our clock. He doesn't operate. Now, in Africa, there's a little joke in some countries more than others, but it's called Africa time. And so in some places, we say, okay, what time are we going to have service? Okay, service is at 10 o'clock. And I'll look and say, okay, what time is service? They say, well, that's Africa time. So if they say 10, it might be 11. And I've waited more than an hour before. And just until I used to get impatient, the Lord helped me. Because if someone says, okay, it's at 10 o'clock Smith time, do you know what Smith time means? It means you're going to, you all know, what time is it? It's going to be at 10 o'clock on the dot, usually. Now, some families, you put your last name on it, say it's this time. I'm not sure what that means in your home. But people operate on different time schedules. Do you realize that God's timing is not our time? We look at things and we think we understand, but God is looking at not only the past and the present, He's looking at the future. And He operates on a different time because He's dealing with eternal things. And we are dealing with things that we see at the here and now. God's timing is very different. And so she said, Lord, you're too late. And if you would have been here, you could have healed him. But you're too late. You see, one author said, his step may linger, but Jesus comes at length. When Jesus lingers, he has not forgotten you this morning. Verse 28. And this goes down. We're gonna skip a little bit of this for the sake of time. This is when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Beautiful passage of scripture, but for the purpose of the message this morning. So we come on down to verse 28. She had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her mother, secretly, saying, the master has come and he calls for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came to him. And Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And there were other Jews that were there, and they were there to comfort them. And they went to the grave to weep. And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet and said, Lord, see, this starts to sound a little familiar. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. See, they had some faith. Both of those sisters had a faith that, Lord, if you would have been here. It was conditional, though. If you would have been here. But what they were saying is, Lord, you're late. If you would have been here, my brother had not died. In other words, Lord, you are kind of responsible for this. Because when someone has the power to change something and doesn't, they have taken on some responsibility. So, Lord, you could have helped me, and you didn't. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and he said, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. And you know what Jesus did? He wept. Although he had the power to have healed, and he knew that he was going to raise him from the dead, he was still moved with compassion at the present distress of those that were in mourning. You see, the story in your life is not over right now. There may be someone here this morning, you feel like it's the end of the book. It's over. It's too late. But you see, Jesus knew it wasn't too late. And yet, even with that knowledge, he wept. Because he is touched with the feeling of our infirmity this morning. He cares about how you're feeling. He cares about what you're going through. And so he wept. And then we read on. You know the rest of the story. We don't want to leave Lazarus in the tomb, do we? Jesus went, and he said in verse 39, he said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he'd been dead 4 days. And Jesus said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Do you believe this morning? God's time is not your time. And in our distress, Jesus is not going to be too late. Sometimes it seems like the Lord has been too late, but then I look back and see how he was on time. He was just operating on a different watch than mine, but he knew better. Lord, while we are waiting, help me to keep my faith in you. While we are waiting, help me not to walk away. But Lord, I know you're going to come. I want to emphasize this. I felt like the Lord impressed me to stress this to you this morning. Maybe it's for one of you, maybe it's for all of us. Jesus is coming. He's on his way. I don't want to lose my faith. when the Lord is headed my direction. The battles, the trials that it seems like the Lord could have worked and he didn't. He's saying this morning, it's not a mystery to me. I know what's happening and I'm headed your way. He's not too late this morning. They took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. It didn't take a long, complicated prayer. Because when Jesus comes and he says the word, the work is done. You see, we labor in our waiting. But when Jesus comes, it's not mind over matter. It's not trying to say, okay, well, we're going to just try to take this. No, when Jesus does a job and does a work, it's evident. It's clear. And when he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave, wouldn't have you liked to have been there? He came out of the tomb and he was all wrapped up in his with hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, they believed in him. Folks, it was when Jesus came on the scene, what was impossible was made possible. What was too late, by our assessment, Jesus was right on time. When Lazarus was dead, he was brought to life, because God's time is not our time. There's a scripture that says, when the fullness of time was come, God sending his own son. See, I don't know why God waited as long as he did after the law was given. Why didn't he give the law for 30 years and then Jesus come? I don't know all of those reasons, but when the fullness of time was come, when the time was right, can we trust God's timing as well as his miraculous powers? Lord, we need deliverance. We need it now. And the Lord just tarries. Why? Because I've got something in mind. I know what's happening, and I have your eternal soul is my most important priority, and those in your life, those that you are touched by what's happening, God will be on time this morning. One day is as what with God? One day is 1,000 years. That kind of hurts when you're in distress. Say, Lord, I've had a miserable night, I can't take any more. God doesn't see time like that. He'll cry with you. He'll cry with you, but he's going to work on his time clock. All things are for your sake this morning, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed. Day by day, for our light affliction, this trial, this battle, this struggle, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, day after day, week after week, month after month, and we in our desperation are saying, Lord, how long? Have you forgotten us? And the message of the Spirit of the Lord to you this morning is, no, God has not forgotten you. It's not a mystery. The Lord is coming. He's on his way. And when he comes, something's going to change. And I want to keep my faith fixed, knowing that God's timing is not our timing, because his ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. For our light affliction is what, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So, Lord, would you help our faith this morning? What are we going to do while we wait? In closing, I'd like to read to you from the book of Psalms in the 27th chapter. Verse 13 and 14 was an expression of David when he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of what? What kind of courage? Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And then he doubled down again. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I want to encourage you all to wait. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. But the Lord is on his way. But his timing is different than ours. May the Lord bless you all in Jesus' name.